لا اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا وأصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. من تذكر جيران بذي سلمي مزجت دمعا جرى من مقلة بدمي hear you. Say the line, please. I want to hear everyone to correct you. أم هبت الريح من تلقاء كاظمة وأومض البرق في الظلماء من إضمي فما لعينيك إن قلت اكففا همتا وما لقلبك إن قلت استفق يهمي ذاكرا عزمي لاودر بليز. أيحسب الصب أن الحب منكتم ما بين منسجم منه ومضطرم لولا الهوى لم ترق دمعا على طلل ولا أرقت لذكر البان والعلم فكيف تنكر حبا بعدما شهدت به عليك عدول الدمع والسقم وأثبت الوجد خطي عبرة وضنا مثل البهار على خديك والعنم نعم سرى طيف من أهوى فأرقني والحب يعترض اللذات بالألم يا لائمي في الهوى العذري معذرة مني إليك ولو أنصفت لم تلمي عدتك حالي لا سري بمستتر عن الوشاة ولا دائي بمنحسم محضتني النصح لكن لست أسمعه إن المحب عن العذال في صمم try to come earlier please. إني اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذل والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم فإن أمارتي بالسوء ما اتعظت من جهلها بنذير الشيب والهرم ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل قرى لام الجميل قمرية لام مع الجيم قمرية لام قمرية don't do what the Syrian people in their colloquial language do الجبل they say الجبل الجبل الجميل من الفعل الجميل من الفعل الجميل ولا أعدت من الفعل الجميل قرى ضيف ألم برأسي غير محتشم لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره،
لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره،
كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم،
كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم،
من لي برد رماح من غوايتها،
من لي برد رماح من غوايتها،
كما يرد رماح القيل بالنجم، فلا ترم بالمعاصي كسر شهوتها،
فلا ترم بالمعاصي كسر شهوتها،
إن الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم،
إن الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم،
والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شب على،
والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شب على
حب الرضاع وإن تفطمه ينفطم،
حب الرضاع وإن تفطمه ينفطم،
فاصرف هواها وحاذر أن توليه،
فاصرف هواها وحاذر أن توليه،
إن الهوى ما تولى يصم أو يصم،
إن الهوى ما تولى يصم أو يصم،
وراعها وهي في الأعمال سائمة،
وراعها وهي في الأعمال سائمة،
وإن هي استحلت المرعى فلا تسم،
وإن هي استحلت المرعى فلا تسم،
كم حسنت لذة للمرء قاتلة، من حيث لم يدر أن السم في الدسم، واخشى الدسائس من جوع ومن شبع، فرب مخمصة شر من التخم، واستفرغ الدمع من عين قد امتلأت، من المحارم والزم حمية الندم، وخالف النفس والشيطان واعصهما،
وخالف النفس والشيطان واعصهما،
وإن هما محضاك النصح فاتهم،
وإن هما محضاك النصح فاتهم،
ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما،
ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما،
يحيى فأنت تعرف كيد الخصم والحكم،
فأنت تعرف كيد الخصم والحكم،
أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل،
أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل،
لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي عقمي،
لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي عقمي،
أمرتك الخير لكن ما ائتمرت به،
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 وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقم،
وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقم،
ولا تزودت قبل الموت نافلة،
ولا تزودت قبل الموت نافلة،
ولم أصل سوى فرض ولم أصم،
ولم أصل سوى فرض ولم أصم،
ظلمت سنة من أحيا الظلام إلى،
ظلمت سنة من أحيا الظلام إلى،
أن اشتكت قدماه الضر من ورم،
أن اشتكت قدماه الضر من ورم،
من ورم،
من ورم،
وشد من سغب أحشاءه وطوى،
وشد من سغب أحشاءه وطوى،
تحت الحجارة كشحا مترف الأدم،
تحت الحجارة كشحا مترف الأدم،
وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب،
وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب،
وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب، one of the major errors also in تجويد القرآن الكريم and when reading, making half كسرة and half ضمة. This is colloquial. Like من ذهب, من ذهب. This is a general recommendation for correct pronunciation, especially in القرآن الكريم. When you read in Arabic, in poetry and prose, you read in a wrong way, you don't correct yourself, you're not going to correct yourself in تجويد القرآن الكريم. We had it in the earlier line, لكن ما أتمرت به, لكن, لكن, not لكن, ك, كي, ك, كي. This ك, A, we don't have a vowel called A in the Arabic language, except in some variations of القراءات, the readings of القرآن الكريم. And we have it in حفص, in only in one word in القرآن الكريم, بسم الله مجريها, إيه مجريها. Only one word in القرآن الكريم in حفص reading. But generally speaking, we have a كسرة E, ضمة U, and فتحة A. So we don't have vowels such as in the English language, for example, or A, or O, or as in some other languages like for example, we don't have these vowels. So you have to have full kasra and full dhamma. Commonly in al-Fatiha, for example, people read صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم. People say عليهم, not he. Be careful. For a correct reading in poetry, in prose, will lead you to correct pronunciation in the Quran al-Karim. وأكدت وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب. عن نفسه فأراها أيما شمم. وأكدت زهده فيها ضرورته. إن الضرورة لا تعدو على العصم. وكيف تدعو إلى الدنيا ضرورة من لولاه لم تخرج الدنيا من العدم. محمد سيد الكونين والثقلي. نوى الفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. نبينا الآمر الناهي فلا أحد أبر في قول لا منه ولا نعم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته. لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به. مستمسكون بحبل غير منفصم. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق. Again, applying تجويد rules is a general recommendation for readings of classical texts. More recommended for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but obvious rules of, let's say, idgham or ikhfa or are usually applied. You don't give ghunna as long as you give in a Quran al-Kareem, like alif, full alif, two harakas. The rules of tajweed are natural for Arabic. They came in Al-Quran al-Kareem originally because Arabs applied them in their speech. So here, for example, فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ. Naturally, if you're going to read it eloquently, you would say فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ. فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ. So you do تَفْخِيم, you do تَرْقِيق, you apply it when there is any opportunity to apply any rule of التجويد, you apply it because this is Arabic in general. And for people who are having difficulties in correcting themselves, when you read any text, you want to train at home, train aloud. Sit in your room and read aloud. Because then you make more efforts, you try to twist your tongue in a better way. I learned something in English, we have it in Arabic, called tongue twisters in English. Anyone knows any of them? And? The shells she sells are seashells for sure. Like in Arabic, خيط حرير على حيط أم خليل. خيط حرير على حيط أم خليل. خيط حرير على حيط أم خليل. Examples. We have colloquial. Those are colloquial. Those are not فصحى. But فصحى وقبر حرب بمكان قفر وليس قرب قبر حرب قبر. وقبر حرب بمكان قفر وليس قرب قبر حرب قبر. Tongue twisters, they call them in the English language. We have them in Arabic. This is تعقيد لفظي. This is in Balagha. This is a code for تعقيد لفظي because it's difficult to pronounce. So it's not recommended in فصحى, like to describe a text that is eloquent. But generally speaking, it trains your tongue. So when you read aloud, You're twisting your tongue. This is what I was saying the other day, trying to say that your jaw is frozen in a certain way, so you need to twist it, to change it, to change how it is programmed to pronounce a certain language. So applying like here, في خلق وفي, not في خلق وفي. A correct reading would apply the rule. Of course, you don't give here full غنة في خلق وفي because this is not Al-Quran al-Kareem. Poetry, but it's natural to do the idgham in or ikhfa or iqlab or tafkhim and tarqiq especially. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق.
فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق.
ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم.
ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم.
وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس. غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم.
غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم.
وواقفون لديه عند حدهم.
وواقفون لديه عند حدهم.
Again, there is here مد صلة صغرى. وواقفون لديه عند حدهم.
وواقفون لديه عند حدهم.
People are not doing the مد. لديه عند. Some people are saying لديه عند. وواقفون لديه عند حدهم.
وواقفون لديه عند حدهم.
من نقطة العلم أو من شكلة الحكم.
من نقطة العلم أو من شكلة الحكم.
Last three lines. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق.
فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق.
ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم.
ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم.
وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس.
وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس.
غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم.
غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم.
وواقفون لديه عند حدهم. من نقطة العلم أو من شكلة الحكم.
من نقطة العلم أو من شكلة الحكم.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا.
Be careful. Don't say صلي وسلم. صلي. Cut it short. صلي وسلم. There's no ياء here. If you're talking to a person, you say صلي. If the person is a man, masculine, صلي. If you're talking to a woman, you would say صلي. So saying here, اللهم صلي وسلم is totally wrong and is very wrong. And some of the scholars who are quite tough and they accuse people of kufr. We said there is a rule in عقيدة, نحن لا نكفر باللازم. أهل السنة لا يكفرون باللازم. لازم القول ليس بلازم. What follows on someone's opinion or someone's words are not his conviction, because he might not be aware of what follows. Or in another way we could put it in لازم is what would you translate لازم? No, results from is not that. لازم is لازم القول is دلالة اللزوم. This is from دلالة اللزوم in logic. دلالة الالتزام is what not infer is there's a word for that. I've been using it for a while. Anyway, I'll remember. There's a word in English for technical word for that. But when you say something, this is a good example. You say صلي وسلم. اللهم صلي وسلم. I heard scholars on pulpits on Friday speeches when they make their dua at the end of the khutbah, اللهم صلي وسلم. They are unaware of it. It's just we say لحن. It's a habit that they grew up with. So they are unaware of it. But some of the tough scholars, tough here almost deviated from the major way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, such as Abdullah al-Habashi in Lebanon, for example. His students, they go around when they see a khatib saying something like that, they say this is kufr, because you believe that Allah is feminine. That's what they tell you. You believe that Allah is feminine and this is kufr. Of course, they don't believe in that. Someone who says so does not go to believe in what follows of that opinion. This is why لازم القول ليس بلازم, or لا نكفر بدلالة باللازم. This is مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. This is خطأ, سوء أدب, bad أدب. One has to be careful. So صلي, you cut it, because the الياء here, ياء المؤنثة المخاطبة. You say to a woman صلي, and to a man صلي. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any gender, but the address came in the Quran al-Kareem with in this form. So be careful. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا.
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا.
Cut it short. صلي. Cut it short. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا.
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما
على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
We finished 40 lines of al-Burda, so we're going faster now in order to inshallah finish this inshallah with Rabi'. قال رضي الله تعالى عنه ونفعنا به وبكم آمين. As we highlighted before, Al-Imam Sharaf al-Din al-Busiri is a great arif, a great wali and murshid of the Shadhili path.
فهو الذي تم معناه وصورته
ثم اصطفاه حبيبا بارئ النسم. منزه عن شريك في محاسنه، فجوهر الحسن فيه غير منقسم. دع ما ادعته النصارى في نبيهم، واحكم بما شئت مدحا فيه واحتكم. وانسب إلى ذاته ما شئت من شرف، وانسب إلى قدره ما شئت من عظم. فإن فضل رسول الله ليس له حد، فيعرب عنه ناطق بفم. قال رضي الله تعالى عنه: فهو الذي تم معناه وصورته. He is the one whose meaning and form were perfected. Or he is the one whose inward and outward are perfect. I would say tamma here doesn't indicate the past, it indicates the general truth about him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So rather than were perfected, I would say are perfect. Again, by al-ma'na and al-sura is meant here al-khalq and al-khuluq. Al-ma'na is the meaning, it means here al-khuluq, the inward, the character. Al-sura, the image, means the form, al-khalq. This refers to the perfection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tamma, yatimmu. From that we have al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. You have mutaaddi bi al-hamza, hamza al-taaddi, atamma yutimmu. Tamma lazim, intransitive. Atamma yutimmu, transitive. رباعي مزيد بهمزة. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. He uses here التمام بمعنى الكمال. تمام precisely is complemented. Something is complemented. Something is complete in another way. Perfection is كمال in the Arabic language. This is why Allah سبحانه وتعالى distinguished the perfection of the deen from the from complementing the his bounty upon us. He said اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. This is to indicate that above al-kamal there is no more, but above al-tamam there is always more. Al-tamam accepts any extra ziyada. So al-kamal here in description of the deen, this day have I perfected for you your religion. Allah says, one of the last verses to be revealed. So there's no more addition to the deen at all. Anything that is added is inferred, deduced from earlier texts. For example, we have qiyas as one of the principles of and source of legislation, qiyas analogy. But analogy has to be built on a text from Al-Qur'an or from a Sunnah, on an earlier ruling derived from them also. So deen is perfect, while ni'mah, his bounty upon us, is completed. It is complete, but it accepts more perfection. This is to add the, or to mention the perfection of his ni'mah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah by the beatific vision given to the believers. Then the ni'mah would be perfect. This is why when describing al-jannah or generally speaking describing our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real hijab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real azab, the real torment is not the fire, is the hijab being veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the people of fire, ahl al-nar. And the real na'im, the pleasure of the people of Al-Jannah, is not in the luxuries of Al-Jannah and the pleasures of Al-Jannah, in the rivers, in the houses, in the palaces and so on. It is in the beatific vision, in the wasl al-habib subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real pleasure. So this is ma'na al-tamam. Here he uses ma'na al-tamam bi ma'na al-kamal. Tamma bi ma'na kamula. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had the most perfect body and the most perfect character. We mean here the most perfect, the totally perfect and the most perfect. So there was no match up to him, no one of the prophets or anyone Allah created matched up to his level of his behavior, his character, his form, his description, his image sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam at all. And he in himself was perfect, because perfection is sometimes respective or proportional. Someone may be most perfect of anyone else, but not totally perfect. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more perfect than everyone and reached the top level of perfection. This perfection was manifested in several ways. For example, describing his beauty sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, according to hadith Imam Muslim, وَأَعْطِيَ يُوسُفُ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ وَأُعْطِيتُ الْحُسْنَ كُلَّهِ. Yusuf was given half of beauty, I was given all of it. One commentator says, Yusuf was given half of my beauty. The meaning is, I was given all of beauty. So in proportion to the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yusuf was given half of it. And the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Al-Shama'il, to prove how perfect he was. There's no one single human being who is described to us in detail as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described. And every part described to us represents the pinnacle of beauty, the top level of beauty. For example, if you take just the hadith mentioned about his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I usually try to give people, just especially non-Muslims or people who are new, to see how much care, attention the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. No such attention is given to any royalty, any king, any emperor throughout history. If you look at his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how much details we have of his description, you see that his hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described to us. The color of it. And the color of it, how it changed when he had some gray hair. How much gray hair? How many hair he had? And where? Where he had them, whether he dyed his hair or not, how did his hair look when he dyed it, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, with what did he dye his hair, the length of his hair, how was it, short, long, above his earlobes, below his earlobes, did he have his braids? And how many? And how many times was he seen? How many haircuts he had? We say haircuts here, but how many times he shaved his hair? The correct question is, because we don't have any narration that he cut his hair. Rather, he shaved his hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, four times. So, was his hair curly or straight? Or between? Straight, curl, curly. His beard sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how long was it? Was it thick or light? And was it round or more broad or more tuliya, we say long? Did he part his hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or let it? When he combed his hair, first, did he use a comb or not? When he combed his hair, which part he started with? This is about the hair just. Then you go, the hair of the head and the beard. Then you go to describe his eyebrows and eyelashes and mustache. Did he cut his mustache? What instrument did he use to cut his mustache? And how thick were his eyebrows? Were they connected in the middle or not? How long were his eyelashes? And the color of both his eyebrows and eyelashes. This is all about the hair. Then, not to talk about describing the eyes, describing the ears, the cheeks, the nose. Probably you could put a few pages, 3 pages of hadith in describing the nose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mouth, his lips, his teeth, and so on. So we don't have in history, this is unique about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't think anyone talked about this aspect just as being miraculous. It's a great miracle that we have such wealth of information in describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which shows to us that the Sahaba believe that this is not a human being like others, but rather different from others. And this perfection was not only manifested in his beauty sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is one aspect, because we ultimately believe that beauty is the beauty of the soul, beauty of the character. But since the messenger has to be perfect and has to appeal to every taste, let's say, if we put it this way in a modern term, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most beautiful of anyone, more beautiful than anyone. Because, as we said, people may be attached just to the outward form of beauty. People may be attached to wisdom. People may be attached to the behavior. So this is why he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had every element. So people who are superficial and they get attached only to the outward form, they have to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to accept what he says. People who go deeply into his wisdom, they look for wisdom in general, they look for principles of ethics, they look for behavior, they look for the best character, they find in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every aspect of perfection that appeals to every kind of human beings. I was saying the other day that this is one major reason, I was saying this in Arabic on Sunday. But this is one major reason why when you speak about Islam or scholars speak about Islam in the West, you have in front of you probably 100 non-Muslims, only 2 or 3 of them become Muslims. The rest don't become Muslims because you're approaching them from one angle. You're rational, speaking about theology or giving theological proofs that Jesus is not Son of God. But some of them have no problem with this issue. Some of them have social obstacles. Some of them have spiritual vacuum. Some of them have political problems, such as the recent challenges now in the media, Islamist terrorism, attached to terrorism, coupled with terrorism. So when you speak from one angle, you're influencing only people who look from that window. So the same also, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was perfect in his behavior, but wasn't attractive, handsome as or beautiful man, there are still people amongst human beings who are superficial, and they would look at the image. So from that angle, it's not wrong to be attached to the image of the person, if it is in the course of guidance. This is one of the major things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there were many other aspects of his perfection, such as the perfection of his form, the inward, I don't mean here the character, I mean here the form, from the formula of what he was created, the formula, the balance between the 4 elements, the 4 humors in his body, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was perfect to the extent that if he wanted to live 1,000 years, he would have lived 1,000 years, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, without aging, without having any signs of weakness or aging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to see some glimpses of that perfection, but also as a human being, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to prove to people that he is a human being. And many instances, many of his ahadith highlight this fact, just to prove to people that, well, he is like them, a human being. Otherwise, the general conviction of the Sufis that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is light and created from light is not wrong from a Sharia point of view. And there are many texts that prove it or support it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want to convey this notion to the Arabs, because any person who conveys the message to human beings must be a human being. If he is in the form of an angel, then he has to come in a form of a human being, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, because the Arabs of Mecca challenged and said, why Allah doesn't send to us an angel? Allah answered them, if we sent an angel, then the angel cannot speak to you till he comes in a certain form. And the most suitable form is a form of a human being. In another way, there's here a hypothetical question. What if this man speaking to you is an angel and you're unaware of it? وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ رَجُلًا وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ مَلَكًا لَجَعَلْنَاهُ رَجُلًا وَلَلَبَسْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا يَلْبِسُونَ. Had we made him an angel, sent him as an angel, we would put him in a form of a human being. And then we would turn the proof against them, against the unbelievers of Mecca. So this aspect is very important. One hadith that called my attention in this regard, though the commentators give a different interpretation, is the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was describing the gray hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala was 2.5 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he had all his hair growing gray much earlier than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During his life, he had all his hair growing gray. Yet with that in mind, once he looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having seen some gray hair. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had only some gray hair on his forelock. So he said, Shibta ya Rasulullah, you're having gray hair, O Messenger of Allah. Ta'ajjub, with exclamation mark. Shibta ya Rasulullah. Qala shayyabatni Hudun wa akhawatuha. Surah Hud and its sisters made my hair grow gray, he said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now some commentators say, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went one evening to his home with no gray hair, came out the following day in the morning with some gray hair. But my understanding of the hadith is different, though of course it's not supported but by the perfection of Rasulullah, the common notion of this principle of the perfection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wondered, how come Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gray hair while his form is perfect, his formula, the formula of his body is perfect, so signs of aging would be very alien to this formula, to this perfection. Otherwise he, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq himself, had so much gray hair, and usually you don't say so if he's younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you tell me you're having gray hair, for example, I tell you, well, look at yourself, you're older than me, you're younger than me, and you're having gray hair. You see the point here? So very easily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have answered Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, well, you're having gray hair like me. But this is not about asking why, or he found it strange that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having gray hair growing on his head while he's perfect in his form. But this is to prove also to the Sahaba, first of all, shayb is waqar, shayb gives dignity, is one aspect. Arabs looked at that, unlike the common belief now that gray hair is a deficiency, and losing your hair or having your head bald is a deficiency. Arabs coupled these things with other principles, like for example as-salaa lil-ashraf min sifati al-ashraf, losing your hair or having your hair completely lost and having a bald head is one of the signs of nobility, and only great dignitaries had this. And there's actually, I think Al-Jahiz wrote about this, highlighting people who were bald or lost their hair totally. And the same Arabs coupled having gray hair with dignity. So you're more attached to elders, to the elders of the community. This is why Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid says, تمنيت أن الشيب عاجل لمتي وقرب مني في صبايا مزاره لآخذ من عهد الشباب نشاطه وآخذ من عهد المشيب وقاره. Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid was a great Shafi'ite Malikite scholar who was given authority to issue fatwas, ijazas. He was given ijazas at the age of 18. So he wished that at the age of 18 he had gray hair growing in his on his head, to have the vividity, nishat of the young age, of the youth, and the dignity of the gray hair, or of the elders, to have them coupled together. It's difficult to have them both together. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perfect. And these are some of the perfect aspects. If we look, for example, again, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not bothered by hunger or by thirst. Also another sign of the perfection of his body. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was not affected by poison. It was only just to that some traces were someone ate from the lamb, forshank we called it, some forshank, and died one of the Sahaba. And the woman, the Jewish woman, was killed later on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pardoned her for his own sake, but later on retaliation was applied because one of the Sahaba died. This is during the conquest of Khaybar. But he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not die, though he ate from the same forshank. But traces of the poison were Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen in order to add him to the list of martyrs, or to put him on the top of the list of martyrs, to honor the martyrs, and to give him also every type of every virtue, every merit. But he is a martyr also, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So, but his body, he did not die of the poison. So it didn't affect him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So several aspects, if you look perfect aspects of or the aspects of perfection in his form sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you will find them. One of them is his strength. He out wrestled the champion of wrestling of Quraysh, Rikana, a well known hadith. And knowing that, if you read in history, especially the history of Quraysh and the people of Mecca, it is mentioned that the people of Mecca, Quraysh, were the champions of Arabs in wrestling, the strongest amongst all Arabs. And this is attributed to the water of Zamzam, drinking Zamzam water, because they drank Zamzam water, so they grew the strongest bodies. And Rikana was the champion of Quraysh, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out-wrestled Rikana. This is mentioned in Fada'il Zamzam. When you go through Fada'il Zamzam, Zamzam water, if you maintain drinking Zamzam water, you will grow the best bodies, the strongest bodies. And this is how Quraysh was amongst Arabs. So فَهُوَ الَّذِي تَمَّ مَعْنَاهُ وَصُورَتُهُ. This is the perfection of his surah. The perfection of his ma'na, in terms of his wisdom, in terms of his behavior, in terms of his character, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is beyond imagination. And this is the subject of الشمائل المحمدية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah created Adam and his offspring, this is a gender, this is a jins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left for us one perfect example in every aspect, and many other perfect examples in several other aspects, or in some of these aspects. So we have messengers and prophets Allah sent. They were sinless, they were impeccable, and perfect in some aspects. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the only most perfect and the only very perfect man So الجنس البشري was summed up in him. The perfection of the human race was summed up in him. From that aspect, the Sufis talk about الإنسان الكامل. الإنسان الكامل, the perfect human, they refer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the title of a book written by Abdul Karim al-Jili, one of the great Sufis. And the whole theory of الإنسان الكامل, the perfect human, is a Sufi theory referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because Allah made him the only perfect example within the human race. So coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as humans, the descendants of Adam, coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to come through the perfect example. In order to have or reach a certain level of perfection, we have to follow his footsteps sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. ثم اصطفاه حبيبا بارئ النسم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected him as his beloved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described here as being بارئ النسم. بارئ is the originator. الخالق is the creator. بارئ is the originator. النسم, plural of نسمة, also اسم جنس جمعي يفرق بينه وبين واحده بالتاء. And then the originator of souls chose him as the beloved. فهو is a valid reading in the Quran al-Kareem. So be iskan al-ha. Worse, for example, وهو in the Quran, every time you have وهو, you read in ورش وهو. So this is valid. Here الهاء is ساكنة. فهو, originally فهو, both are لغتان فصيحتان. فهو الذي تم معناه وصورته. طباق between the معنى and the صورة. Here you have طباق. طباق having two opposite adjectives beside each other. This is called tibaq, one of the methods of enhancing the text. ثم اصطفاه, اصطفى يصطفي, from that verb you have المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, used to describe several messengers in the Quran الكريم. حبيبا, حبيبا حال, or تمييز. بارئ النسم, منزه عن شريك في محاسنه فجوهر الحسن فيه غير منقسم. This line gives some similarities about the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam amongst human being to the position of God. As God subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique, قل هو الله أحد, and has no partners. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst human beings is unique and has no peers. So he uses here the word shariq. لا يشاركه أحد, it means here. We have several aspects in which, for example, when we compare how we, or if we put it this way, in many ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unique and distinguished him from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala with capital H. And one of these examples is the, what we may call apostasy, or using, insulting, or this word in the English, blasphemy against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or blasphemy against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For example, in the Malikite school and the Hanafite school, if someone curses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or insults the Messenger of Allah, the position is different. In the case of blasphemy against God, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is an opportunity to repent. Blasphemy against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives people no opportunity. There is no opportunity for them to repent they are to be killed immediately. So this doesn't indicate that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is greater than God. There's no way to imply this notion, but rather because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is God, He is the creator, and God is laysa kamithlihi shay' wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. There is nothing like Him or like the likeness of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's beyond imagination, He's beyond He's so sublime subhanahu wa ta'ala and transcendent, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being. So people sometimes believing that He's a human being may transgress against Him, may have courage, or may, a better word, may dare address Him or describe Him in many ways that are imperfect or may indicate deficiencies. So the road is blocked in front of them. The moment someone insults Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they are to be killed immediately. In an Islamic state, we're talking here, in an Islamic state. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ordered 14 people to be killed when or upon the conquest of Mecca. One of them is Abdullah ibn Khattal, for example, because he had two female slave girls who were singers, and he wrote poetry insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and they used to sing and he used to drink wine and listen to their singing with this poetry against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is to show how important was the propaganda in that time and how much attention Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the role of media and this propaganda against Islam. They were poets. I said once before, this is one of the areas to be highlighted, the role of media in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's a long subject. One other aspect is, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that من رآني في المنام فقد رآني حقا فإن الشيطان لا يتمثل بي. Whoever sees me in his dream has seen me in reality. The shaitan doesn't take on my form. So there's no way the shaitan can come in your dream to tell you I am Rasulullah, I am the messenger of Rasulullah, or point out, mislead you in your dream. But the shaitan may come in your dream to tell you that I am God, He is God. Because it's very obvious to you that in any form the shaitan comes to tell you he is God, that this is not God. It's very obvious. Because God is beyond description, beyond imagination. There's no way that you could conceive of God in any form. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a human being. And shaitan coming in his form, if he were allowed, it would be a challenge for people. What is the way? How to distinguish? Well, we can distinguish, I mean the awliya can distinguish between a human being and a jinn coming in a form of a human being. It's not difficult for the men of Allah, people who are trained in the company of the awliya, to distinguish. It's not difficult to distinguish between a snake that is a snake and a snake that is a jinn coming in a form of a snake. It's not difficult to distinguish for people or for us, or, you know, we were around the awliya. It's some of the sort of common knowledge that you gain through the company of the awliya and the men of Allah. But to distinguish between a form that this is a shaitan and this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what are the criteria in this regard? It's very difficult if he were allowed. So he's not allowed. Shaitan is not allowed to come in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Some of these aspects show how much he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a human being was protected more, because God is God and no one could reach God to impart any imperfection on him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as a human being, the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has to be protected more, and because people look at other human beings exactly as the kuffar of Quraysh, the unbelievers of Mecca. They said, مَالِ هَذَا الرَّسُولِ وَقَالُوا مَالِ هَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Why is this messenger eating food and walking in the marketplaces? They considered that type of too human. This is why Imam Ibn Atta'illah al-Sakandari says, considering the heirs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the sheikhs, the awliya, that إذا أراد الله تعالى أن يشهدك خصوصية عبد طوى عنك شهود بشريته. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to see the perfection of one of his awliya, he would hide from you the aspects of his humanness. Because a qutb or a wali or a shaykh is by the end a human being and is imperfect. He gets angry, he shops, he plays with his kids, he shouts as his kids, he quarrels with his wife, by the end he is a human being. But if you see this aspect of your shaykh every day, and you knock at the door of your shaykh and you see him in his pyjama, for example, and you don't see him only speaking on the pulpit or giving a talk, then you're coming to your respect for the shaykh is going to diminish, or your belief that he is like you is going to overwhelm you, then there will be no benefit. The door of benefit is blocked between you and the shaykh. You're not going to benefit from the shaykh. This is why generally in the adab of the tariqah, that you keep aloof from the shaykh, not away, but aloof from the shaykh. You are allowed to come to be with the shaykh only when the shaykh permits you in public sessions. This is for beginners. Sometimes when you are firm in the path, you might be tested whether you stay in the path or not, whether your conviction of the shaykh is going to change or not. Because ultimately, when you give bay'ah to the shaykh, you know that you're not giving bay'ah to a perfect man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your early stages hides from you the misperfections of the shaykh, because Allah wants you to stay in the path. Sometimes Allah wants to filter people, so these people will be filtered sometimes by going through hardships in the path. They come step in the path, then they confront hardships. Because if they're coming for the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, well, this path is not for people who are seekers of dunya. This path is for people who are seekers of the akhirah. So they get more difficulty. They say, oh, we just got in the path, and then all difficulties came, all problems came. Well, did you get bay'ah in order to solve your dunya problems or your akhirah problems? You want to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or just run your business and get married or solve your problems? This is one of the issues. And the other challenge would be your look at the shaykh, how you look at the shaykh, there might be sometimes some words might be shaken. This is why protecting here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in many of these aspects was in order for us to still have in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most perfect example. Munazzahun, tanzih here, he is beyond. He is transcendent beyond. He is so perfect beyond. An sharikin, beyond having a partner. Literally partner or a peer, similar, or anyone who shares with him any of his beauties, mahasin, beauties. فَجَوْهَرُ الْحُسْنِ فِيهِ. Let me see how this is translated. Incomparable. His beauty has no peer. The essence of beauty itself is in his nature. It means here, the essence of beauty is not divided. غَيْرُ مُنْقَسِمِ is not divided. So it is in him, and no one has any part of it. This is to indicate that any aspect of beauty you see on any human being is a reflection of his. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is very important. There are hints to this. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ in the Quran al-Kareem. You are indeed on good character. عَلَى means الْاِسْتِعْلَاءُ وَالْتَمَكُّنُ. On. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on good character. The metaphor of that is like the following. There is all good character, every aspect of good behavior, every good trait is gathered, collected on a hill, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on it, is in control of it. So anyone who wants some good character, some good behavior has to take it from him. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the hint in the metaphor, because ala isti'la majazi here. So, but the isti'la al-haqiqi means the tamakkun here, being firm on something. So from that aspect, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected in him every aspect of the human behavior, as he perfected in him every aspect of the human beauty, then any other aspect that people or the offspring, Adam and his offspring has or may have, is a reflection of his. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So there's no way to compare anyone to him. So beauty is in him and is full in him, has been perfected in him. فَجَوْهَرُ الْحُسْنِ فِيهِ The essence of beauty in him is undivided. There is no match to it anywhere else. The coming three lines are coherent and are one paragraph. دَعْمَ ادَّعَتْهُ النَّصَارَى فِي نَبِيِّهِمِ وَحْكُمْ بِمَا شِئْتَ مَدْحًا فِيهِ وَاحْتَكِمِ He says, دع from ودع يدع دع leave neglect ما ادعته ودع and دع notice here the verb, what do you call this in the English language when you have a verb or a word formed of the same letters exactly this is anagram anagration So, دَعْ مَا ادَّعَتْهُ Leave what the Christians claimed. اِدَّعَى here to claim. دَعَى is to call. But اِدَّعَى تَأْقُلِ بَدَّالًا means to claim. اِدَّعَى يَدَّعِي اِدَّعَتْهُ الْهَا is مَفْعُول بِهِ object. النَّصَارَى is the subject. الفاعل. فِي نَبِيِّهِمِ about their prophet. Leave what the Christians claimed about their prophet. What did they claim? Some of them claimed Jesus is God. Some of them said Jesus is Son of God. Some of them said Jesus is God incarnate. So leave these three claims. That is to say, don't claim in him any divine quality. Or don't claim him as God or Son of God. Or don't believe in him as being God or having any divine attributes. When you have left what the Christians claimed about the Jesus, as he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stressed in one hadith, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. Don't flatter me as the Christians flattered Jesus, or don't exaggerate in praising me as the Christians exaggerated in praising Jesus. Referring to this fact. ولكن قولوا عبد الله ورسوله but say the messenger of Allah the servant of Allah and his messenger out of his humility صلى الله عليه وسلم and to put limits also to the praise like the maximum so the poet here is giving us the maximum leave these claims of the Christians in Jesus and say whatever you want وحكم بما شئت مدحا فيه واحتكمي Leave aside what the Christians have claimed for their prophet, then praise him as you like, but do so wisely. وَحْكُمْ بِمَا شِئْتَ مَدْحًا فِيهِ وَحْكُمْ judge, حَكَمَ يَحْكُمُ Judge, give judgment. بِمَا شِئْتَ in whatever you want. مَدْحًا in praise, فِيهِ of him. وَاحْتَكِمِ احْتَكَمَ يَحْتَكِمُ here to refer to. احتكم يحتكم to refer to or احتكم يحتكم to have حكمة as the translator put it here the meaning would be rather here خاصم في إثبات هذه الفضائل من شئت من الخصماء فلن يستطيع ردها أو إنكارها احتكم here means refer to any referee refer to any judge argue about his perfection about praising him because you have full right to say whatever you want about him if you have left already, if you already left what the Christians claimed about their prophet. احتكم يحتكم. Usually you go to a hakam to, there's another word of other than referee, verdict. Verdict is hukum. Arbitrator, for example, is hakam, arbitrator. And any other word in English? Someone who gives verdict is called judge. Go to any arbitrator. Go in order to prove your point, in order to prove your praise. Say whatever you want and refer to any judge about it. No one is going to argue with you. Say whatever you want. The scholars of Sirah Nabawiyah say this is the most perfect praise said by any poet about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it includes every virtue. Don't say he is God, don't say he is son of God, don't say he is God incarnate, and say whatever you want about him. So it covers all types of praise, every quality of his sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. دَعْمَتْ دَعَتْهُ النَّصَارَ فِي نَبِيِّهِمِ. One piece of truth we should be aware of. Although the Wahhabis are so much concerned about this issue, more than concerned, actually obsessed with the issue of shirk, associating other gods with Allah, and they fear that Rasulullah may be worshipped, Rasulullah is made God, or people are worshipping Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, associating other gods with Allah when they say, "Oh, Ya Rasulullah, Oh, Messenger of Allah," they call upon him. But throughout 14 centuries and more than 14 centuries of our history, there is no one single narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worshipped, or was claimed to be God, or was given any divine quality. There is no one single narration by Muslims or by any sect. This has been claimed about people around him or people other than him, such as Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and his cousin. We have several sects who claim that Ali is God, God incarnate. But about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, there is no one single narration that any Muslim reached that point. Allah protected him. He made dua, as in one hadith, Allahumma la taj'al qabri wathanan yu'bad. Oh Allah, don't make my shrine an idol to be worshipped. So no one worships Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam at all. There is no way that anyone, any Muslim, could reach that level. So the fear is actually, is not in its context at all. It's incoherent with the core of the message of Islam, with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with Muslims look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general. I was listening just the other day, 2 days ago I think, on TV, there was on one of these channels, news channels, religious channels, Islamic channels, there was someone from Saudi Arabia giving a talk about loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was curious, because this is a subject that they never touch upon. It's a taboo in Saudi Arabia, talking about mahabbat wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now, since there's this world crisis now about Denmark, so they have to speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was classifying mahabbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in two types, mahabbah shar'iyya and mahabbah shirkiyya. Mahabbah shar'iyya and mahabbah shirkiyya, associated with mahabbah in association. This is the first time I've ever heard this. So I said, let's hear what he has to say. I said, mahabbah shirkiyya is an ta'budahu. أن تخصص شيئا من العبادة المخصصة لله له. To worship him or devote to him any type of عبادة given to Allah, but give it to him rather than Allah. And tell me, is there any Muslim who does anything like this? But of course they mean here توسل. اللهم إنا نسألك بجاه المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or they mean here, for example, يا رسول الله, يا إمام الرسل, يا سندي, calling upon him. Well, for us, calling upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not haram, because we're not calling a piece of stone. We're calling a spirit that is alive. Death, referring to the definition of death, death is separation between the soul and the body. And the soul is living. And the best proof actually against them is the writings of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, student of Ibn Taymiyyah, and advise people to go to Kitab al-Ruh to read. He proves in the first section so many dozens of narrations about the tasrif of al-Ruh, the actions taken by dead people. In one instance, one of the Sahaba came to some other Sahabas and told them after he died, his ruh came in the dream and told them, well, I have so much debt and I have this armor belongs to this person, give it to him and so on and so. And next day or next few days, they went to the Khalifa radiallahu ta'ala and he ordered them to execute the will. And he gives several other narrations of people's dreams. Dead people coming to them in their dreams, telling them to do things, or telling them some news. And then he says that all these dreams are to confirm one fact, that these dead people are aware. They acquire knowledge, they give knowledge. They get aware of people's visits, they get aware of what's going around them. And he considers these dreams as valid proofs, which is very unique for Ibn al-Qayyim and very actually strange from Ibn al-Qayyim. And he quotes actually the hadith which subhanAllah is so beautiful, the hadith of Laylatul Qadr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Sahaba having told him that they saw Laylatul Qadr on the last 10 days of Ramadan, he said, أَرَى رُؤْيَاكُمْ قَدْ تَوَاطَأَتْ عَلَى الْعَشْرِ الْأَخِيرِ فَاطْلُبُوهَا فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَخِيرِ. I see that all your dreams are coming to tell that Laylatul Qadr is on the last 10 days, so seek it in the last 10 days. So the dreams of the Sahaba were valid proofs, made valid proofs by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, Ibn al-Qayyim, student of Ibn Taymiyyah, considers the dreams of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and their students afterwards that tell about the spirits of the dead people acquiring knowledge or telling pieces of news, consider such dreams are as valid proofs. So then, when we call upon a person, we're not calling upon a dead body. We're calling upon a living person, a living thing, which is a ruh. And one of the Egyptian awliya wrote an epistle on ithbat tasrif al-awliya ba'd al-mawt. The awliya may come to your help after they die. We've seen this. I have seen this of my father, rahimahullah, so many times. Dozens of times I have seen this of my father, rahimahullah. And we've seen this of other awliya also. And some other awliya told us also about, you have hundreds and thousands of stories about Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, Imam Abu Hassan al-Shadi, Sayyid Ahmad al-Rifai, Sayyid Ahmad al-Badawi in Egypt, because there's something specific about him. And several other awliya are given this. In Syria here we have it even of al-Malik al-Adil, Nuruddin Mahmud ibn Zangi. Anyone who goes to his grave and makes dua, if any injustice is imparted on him, he will be rescued or given justice, and Nuruddin might come to him in his dream and give him support. This is very, very, very clear, because the spirit is like the body in one aspect, that it may be weak, it may be strong, it may be small, it may be big in size, exactly like people's bodies. But people's bodies, there are limits for the size. We don't see any human being who is, for example, 10 meters long, tall. The jinn are of that type. Some of the jinn, their feet are on the earth, and their legs are amongst the planets, some planets. Some of the jinn are gigantic, are so big, so huge. And some of the jinn are just 10 centimeters big. Those big one, or 10 centimeters small, the big ones of them, gigantic ones, are called marada, plural of married. So this is considering jinn. But in terms of human being, now we don't have in size. There was in the past, but now we don't have. All human beings are within 2 meters, for example. I think there is someone who is 2 meters 10 or 2 meters 20, I think, in Pakistan, right? I think I've seen this once in the tallest man in the world in Birmingham now. So you're fanatic to Birmingham. How tall is he?
He's taller than a telephone box. You know, a telephone box. He's 6 standard like that.
Yeah, but we're talking about facts here. How tall is he?
I never asked him.
Then don't tell he's the tallest man. How would?
In my room like this.
Yeah, but how would you know that he's the tallest man?
He's in the Guinness Book of Records.
Ah, mashallah. Then you didn't remember his tall. This is the most obvious fact about him, and you didn't remember it.
Why? I knew for his hips of Quran.
Yeah, but why did he speak then if you don't know the simplest fact? The tallest man in the world coming to your home and visiting you, and you don't remember, and you don't remember how tall he is.
I never asked him that.
I don't want to tell to say that you're stupid. Because then you're telling the story. Why? What's the point in telling the story if you don't remember how tall he is?
As long as I know that he's the tallest man.
Well, then this means that you want to be proud that the tallest man is visiting you in your home. Otherwise, you can tell the exact piece of truth. What matters us is not he is visiting you or not visiting you. This is your own life. What matters us is how tall he is. Right? This is what matters us, and you can't give us this benefit, even. You see the point here? So don't tell next time that the tallest man in the world is visiting you or has been visiting you in your home. Asrar actually has many Asrar. So he takes the toll on behalf of all the students. When anyone misbehaves, he takes the toll, and he accepts the corrections himself. This is not to overlook others' mistakes, but rather just to, like al-awliya, al-awliya, they take calamities on behalf of human beings. So he takes all the toll of corrections and mistakes of other students. Barakallahu fikum jami'an. So anyway, we're talking about how big human beings are. So the body varies in its size and varies in its strength. There are also champions of wrestling in the world, people who are very strong, very powerful. The strongest man in the world is also a competition. Okay. So anyway, the ruh, in a similar way, may vary in its size, may vary in its strength also. It may be very weak. It may be very strong. It may be very small. It may be very weak. Commonly, the souls, arwah al-mu'mineen, are beside their graves. But some of them, those great awliya, because you feed your ruh as you feed your body. I read that some of these people who play kamalul ajsam, what do you call kamalul ajsam? They grow muscles. Bodybuilding, that's what they're called. So those people who practice bodybuilding, some of them, they eat I don't know how many pounds of meat every day they have to eat in order to grow muscles. So imagine if you want to grow muscles of your ruh to be strong, how much dhikr you have to make every day. So the more dhikr, the more abstinence from the lusts of this world, the more your ruh grows strong in its size, big in its size, strong in its power. Then it may cruise the world. From that angle, the ulama say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ruh, his ruh, tamla'u al-kawun. It fills the universe. And it doesn't contradict or to zahim, overcrowd, any other substance. Because you can get in this room, for example, you can fill in this room with every, let's say, with the bricks, with people, with everything, then angels may come in and jinn may come in because they are ajsam latifa, shaffafa, we call them. They are not substances made of it's like light. Light doesn't contradict. When you fill in the room with some light, there is still room, enough space in the room to add whatever you want and to put whatever you want. But still the room is filled with light. So the jinn, you may get in the room some jinn who may feel probably a few miles, who may be in size, feel few miles, but then they come in the room and they feel in the room, yet you may put furniture, you may put people in the room. The same with angels also, and the size of angels is beyond imagination. And Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of dihya sometimes, or in the form of a Bedouin, or sometimes he used to come as an angel. The Sahaba wouldn't see him, he has 600 wings. So the same also for Ar-Ruh. You may get in one room, you can't get in this room probably more than 100 people, but you may get in this room 1,000 souls. And thousands of souls, they don't get overcrowded with each other, because they are ajsam latifa. So the same also for the ruh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. His ruh fills in the universe without having to have empty spaces or vacuums for it to exist or to be present in some places. From that angle, we don't see in this any contradiction to any principle of the Sharia. There's no contradiction in that to any principle of the Sharia. When you take it step by step. Now, if you say it, of course, that ruh wa rasulillah tamla'u al-kawun, people will tell you, how come? Well, take it step by step. Just study ahwal al-ruh. From what has been narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And then you will come to this conclusion that the awliya's ruh, arwah, may be so powerful that if you call upon them, they would come to rescue you, to your rescue. So you call upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then he may come to your rescue. There's nothing in the Sharia that is against this. So you're not talking to a piece of stone or calling a piece of metal, saying when you say Ya Rasulullah. So there's no way that you're doing shirk at all. And this is our Islamic doctrine in the awliya, our atiqad in the awliya, that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this power after their death, because their arwah are so strong. Their arwah, when they were alive, were in control of their bodies. وانسب إلى ذاته ما شئت من شرف وانسب إلى قدره ما شئت من عظم. Ascribe to his essence what you wish of honor. Sharaf here, honor. Unsub, it means attribute, and ascribe, both. إلى ذاته, to his that, to his essence. ما شئت من شرف, any type of honor. When we praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're honoring ourselves. Sayyiduna Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala says, مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي لَكِن مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدِي. I'm not honoring Muhammad by my words, I'm honoring my poetry by mentioning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in it. So in another way, by your salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not doing him a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. وَنْسُبْ إِلَىٰ قَدْرِهِ, to his rank, القدر. Notice the difference between قدر and قدر. قدر is esteem. قدر, esteem. And قدر is predestination. قدر also may mean amount, مقدار. عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَهْلِ الْعَزْمِ تَأْتِي الْعَزَائِمُ وَتَأْتِي عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ الْكِرَامِ الْمَكَارِمُ. أبو الطيب Al-Mutanabbi says, according to the amount of your himmah, your actions would come. عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَهْلِ الْعَزْمِ. Qadr here means esteem, rank. مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ عِظَمِ, greatness. عِظَم, greatness. عَظُمَ يَعْظُمُ عِظَمًا. The third line gives the reason why. فَإِنَّ فَأَ السَّبَبِيَّةِ. Give him whatever you want. So starting from دَعْمَ الدَّعَتْهُ النَّصَارَى, then وَحْكُمْ وَنْسُبْ. Give him any judgment in praise, and ascribe to his essence any honor, attribute to his esteem any greatness. Because فَإِنَّ فَضْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, because the virtue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is limitless, has no limits. Truly, the messenger of God's bounty cannot be overstated by two lips and a tongue. Again here, I would have better suggestion for or another suggestion. I don't know, people will judge whether it is better or not. فإن فضل رسول الله ليس له حد. فضل may mean bounty here in the Arabic language, generally in the Arabic language, but here it means virtue, rank, merit, excellence, rather than bounty. He's not talking about his favors to us, he's talking about his own rank. This is why it's not right to translate it as bounty. فَإِنَّ فَضْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, the virtue of Rasulullah, لَيْسَ لَهُ حَدٌّ, also translated here as cannot be overstated by two lips. You could put it in different ways also. لَيْسَ لَهُ حَدٌّ is limitless. حَد is limit. Barrier. Now in hudud between countries, for example, you translate this as boundaries between countries, had and hudud. So it means here there is no limit where you can stop. You can say whatever you want in praising him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his virtue is limitless. His virtue, his rank is beyond description. There is no way any person could express it, any person speaking could express it in his tongue. فَيُعْرِبَ عَنْهُ, notice here فَيُعْرِبَ مَنْصُوب بِأَنَّ الْمُضْمَرَ, because there is nafi coming before. لَيْسَ لَهُ حَدٌ فَيُعْرِبَ عَنْهُ. أَعْرَبَ here, it means express, عَبَّرَ, عَبَّرَ. Grammatically speaking, to analyze grammatically a sentence or a word. أعربَ, also linguistically speaking, أفصحَ, to eloquently express yourself. To eloquently express yourself. فيعربَ عنه ناطق, from نطق ينطق, to utter. To utter. So ناطق is utterer. Generally speaking, this line means because there are no limits of the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, no human being could ever express his praise in any tongue. Natiqun bifami here includes all languages. So it includes all languages, natiq, any person who speaks by any tongue. He says here fam, mouth. But he means here tongues, and tongues are metaphors of languages. This is a Quranic metaphor. بلسان عربي مبين, by a clear Arabic tongue, means language. لو ناسبت قدره آياته عظما أحيا اسمه حين يدعى دارس الرمم. ناسب يناسب, to match up to or be equal to. ناسب rather مناسبة, be up to the occasion or one of its meanings, but here to match up to the same level. قدره, we had it before. آيات is here miracles, plural of آية. عظما, in greatness. أحيا يحيي, to bring into life. أحيى اسمه, his name. حين يدعى, when he is called upon. دارس الرمم, الرمم plural of رمة, a dead body. A dead body. دارس is vanishing. Let me see what we have here. Decaying. It is translated as decaying bones. Revive decaying bones. Uh, If a miracle could equal his stature in magnitude, the mere mention of his name would revive decaying bones. لو ناسبت لو حرف امتناع لامتناع. So the whole line is hypothetical. The whole line is hypothetical, just to show the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He says here, if the miracles, if his miracles were up to his level of perfection, then you would have called upon a dead person, Ya Muhammad, Allahumma ahyi bi Muhammadin hadha al-insan. Oh Allah, by Muhammad, bring this man into life again, and the person would be alive. If the his miracles, when his name is mentioned, are or were actually up to his level of perfection. As I said, it's hypothetical, just to highlight the fact that, well, he's so great. So don't compare yourself when you call upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for something that doesn't happen. It's not a deficiency in him, it's a deficiency in your calling upon him. لم يمتحنا بما تعي العقول به حرصا علينا فلم نرتب ولم نهمي. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, describing his way, describing his sharia, describing his sunnah. امتحن يمتحن here, اختبر يختبر. He means here, he didn't test us. لم يمتحنا. امتحان. عند الامتحان يكرم المرء أو يهان. A proverb. When, how would you translate this? Is there anything similar in English? عند الامتحان يكرم المرء أو يهان. It means when tests are set up, then you're either honored or humiliated. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam didn't test us or didn't put us through tests and trials by imposing on us tough obligations, or by making uncomprehendable statements, تعي العقول به, referring to the role of the intellect. His بعثت بالحنيفية السمحة, he says صلى الله عليه وسلم, I was sent with the compassionate straight religion. Compassionate, straightforward, or primordial religion that is coherent with reason, that is harmonious with people's instincts. This is describing the takalif of the sharia, the obligations of the sharia. So لم يمتحن, امتحن يمتحن. Here the verb is from محن. محن is محن. محن is a calamity, is a test, is some hardships or plight, mihna. So imtahana is to put through difficulties, because at imtihan, when you set up your exams, you're going through difficulties. Bima ta'ya, from ayya ya'ya, is to exhaust, to get exhausted. Ayya ya'ya is to get exhausted. Ajiza ya'jazu. بما تعي العقول به حرصا علينا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him in the Quran al-Kareem, عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم. So one of his names is حريص عليكم. He's concerned about you. The best translation is out of his concern. حرص is to persist in getting something, or to be anxious to do something, or to be anxious about something, concerned about it, take care of it. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is haris, has always been giving us all attention in his message, in his life sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he didn't want us, he didn't want to impose on us anything that is difficult or anything that is beyond reason. فَلَمْ نَرْتَبْ وَلَمْ نَهِمِ. As a result to this, we're never put through tests of doubts, and we have never wandered off, because Hama Yahimu here is to travel wandering off in the desert on your face with no direction. Hama Yahimu is also means to be obsessed in love, to fall in love. فلم نرتب ارتاب يرتاب من الريب لا ريب فيه ريب. نعم. So there's no doubt. As a result of his policy, of his way, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, he never imposed on us anything difficult. We're never put through any riba, any doubt. We have never wandered off. He left for us the way very clear after him, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. So there's no way that you could wander off in the desert with no guidance, with no direction from Hama Yahimu. Hama is here, ولم نهمي ولم نتحير, is حيرة. Because you, when you travel and you have no direction, you wonder where you should go, and there's no guide, there's no there are no traces to follow. Then you wander off right and left. هَمَ يَهِيمُ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. أعيى الورى فهم معناه فليس يرى للقرب والبعد فيه غير منفحم. أعيى أعجز. This is the same verb that فلم تعيى, but here you have it four letter root. They are three letter root, the original root, three letter. عيى is intransitive. أعيى is transitive. أعيى أعجز, to exhaust. عيى, to get exhausted. أعيى is to exhaust. أعيى الورى, human beings, all human beings, all the created beings, even الورى, all the created beings. فهم معناه, understanding his meaning, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم's meaning. معناه, with the ها here, the pronoun refers to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Understanding, in another way, the مقام of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, his rank, his virtue, his perfection has turned humanity exhausted. So humanity could not reach a perfect understanding of his maqam, of his rank, of his virtue, of his character. All what we have are glimpses, just. فَلَيْسَ يُرَى فِي الْقُرْبِ وَالْبُعْدِ فِيهِ غَيْرُ مُنْفَحِمِ. When you look at him, whether you're near to him or far from him, you look at him, you try to get to the essence of his perfection, you get no more than you fail. Munfahim here is someone who is ajiz. Let me read Sheikh Hamza's translation, may Allah reward him. Concerned for our welfare, he did not confuse us with matters we could not fathom. Fathom is a good word here. So we neither wandered nor wavered. Human beings cannot grasp his meaning. أعيى الورى فهم معناه. I would put it, understanding his meaning turned humanity speechless. عجزهم, or turned them عاجز, turned them, made them fail. Understanding his meaning made humanity fail. Even those at his side could not keep up with him. فليس يرى للقرب والبعد فيه غير منفحم. As you see here, the second line, or most of the line, is put only in two words here. Even those at his side could not keep up with it. While the line speaks about people beside him, people away from him, including Sahaba and us. القرب, Sahaba were close to him. البعد, people away from him like us. When we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we have no more than failure in understanding his perfection sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hussein, could you come closer? Don't sit on the floor, please, it's too cold. Come on the carpet. This example about being close and far from Rasulullah is explained in the following line more. So this is why these two points are important to put in the translation here. They are not put here in this translation of Sheikh Hamza. Even those at his side could not keep up with him. So both people fail to understand him thoroughly. Here, thoroughly we say, to understand him thoroughly. Of course, everyone has some understanding. The best amongst the Sahaba in understanding the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. كالشمس تظهر للعينين من بعد صغيرة وتكل الطرف من أممي. He is like the sun. He is like the sun. From far away, she looks very small. But when you come closer to it, you can't keep up with its heat. You can't even look at her. I think in the English language, classical English, words like sun, sheep, sun and ship and these type of things used to be feminine in the classical English. So this is coherent or is like Arabic. So كالشمس تظهر, he is like the sun, small to the eye when seen from afar, but when glimpsed close up, it dazzles and overwhelms. This is a good translation. Though the word tukillu here, tukillu tut'ibu, exhausts, means. But you could translate it in different ways, like it dazzles the eye. At-tarf is the eye, one of the metaphors for the eye. Amam qurb, min amami, min qurb, close. Kashamsi tadharu للعينين صغيرة من بعد تظهر صغيرة صغيرة مفعول به تظهر. So it's like he is like the sun, كالشمس. It appears تظهر للعينين for the eyes من بعد from afar صغيرة small. وتكل yet it exhausts or it dazzles the eye الطرفة من أمامي when looking it closely. This is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَكَيْفَ يُدْرِكُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَقِيقَتَهُ قَوْمٌ نِيَامٌ تَسَلَّوْ عَنْهُ بِالْحُلُمِ. How come that people who are busy with their dreams, distracted by their dreams, could ever comprehend his reality? وكيف, how? يدرك, أدرك, يدرك, comprehend. في الدنيا, in this life. حقيقته, his reality. قوم, on people. Originally, the word قوم is meant to men only, because they are يقومون بنصرة القبيلة, only men. But here it means metaphorically all people. But originally, Arabs, قوم is only for men. جاء القوم, when you say in Arabic, classical Arabic, الفصحى, جاء القوم, you mean men, not women. نيام, sleeping. تسلوا, تسلى, يتسلى, here, to find pleasure in something. تسلية is what you do in your leisure time. Probably, تسلية, تسالي, entertainment. But here means from the original meaning of تسلية. This is what I said here, تسلية is a modern meaning. But the original meaning of tasliya is you find console in something. This is the original meaning of tasliya. Like someone if someone's relative has died, then you try to give him tasliya, sulwan, from the same word you have sulwan. You console him by telling him that, well, he died, but he's a martyr, or how much rewards you get by sabr. And so this is also meaning of tasliya, the root. So tasallaw, get busy. got busy, distracted, preoccupied, busy from him by hulum, dreams. Now what is a dream here? Either the dunya. Dunya is like manam, is like a dream. They are busy with the dunya. Or, just generally speaking, that people live in their dreams, so they can't comprehend realities, because realities are beyond comprehension, especially the reality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَكَيْفَ يُدْرِكُ سُؤَال تَعَجُّب here. How come that people who are busy pursuing their dreams of the dunya, or living in their ivory towers, living in being distracted by their businesses, how come they could ever reach or match up, comprehend his reality sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? If you want to understand him more, then you step in your suluk in the Sufi path to understand him more and more. Here the Sufis talk about al-fana fi al-shaykh being مقدمة للفناء في الله تبارك وتعالى. Annihilation in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a step towards, or a necessary step, indispensable step towards annihilation in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And annihilation in the Shaykh himself, the Shaykh overwhelming you means here, you follow him in every bit of his behavior, you take him as a model for you, his love of, overwhelms you, is مقدمة للفناء في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فمبلغ العلم فيه أنه بشر وأنه خير خلق الله كلهم. This is one of the marvelous lines of Al-Burda. The utmost level of knowledge about him is that he is a human being, yet he is خير خلق الله, the best of what Allah created, all, the best of all what Allah created. This is a beautiful line that sums up together that he is a human being, yet he is the best. فمبلغ العلم, and the maximum level, مبلغ, the utmost level of knowledge about him is that he is Bashar, and this is, we are proud of this as Muslims, to believe that our Prophet is a human being, is a human being like us, that he is the most perfect, he is the best of all human beings. The Christians tried to call Muslims in after the Middle Ages, with the uprising of the Protestant movement, the Muhammadans, or Muhammadanians, I think they put it, the Muhammadans, like Christians, because they called themselves after Christ. So you find early translations of the Quran Kareem. I've seen some of the early prints of translations of the Quran Kareem, its meanings in the English language in the 18th century, the Muhammadan book, for example, or things of that type. I've seen several early prints tried to portray Muslims as Christians are in reality worshippers of Jesus, but then they failed afterwards. That was one aspect of the Protestant campaign against Muslims, propaganda against Muslims in from the 18th century, especially the 18th, 19th century. فإنه شمس فضل هم كواكب وهو يستطيع إن شاء الله أو وكل آية أتى الرسل الكرام بها والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة. Anyone finished the lines of last week by heart?